I'm here with my co-host. And as always, like Jeremy, thank you for you guys for just tuning in, just making sure that our show is number one in the whole other countries. Like Jeremy, thank you to you all, everywhere you are. Just continue on listening. So, on today's episode, because we are in the World Cup, we just wanted to just bring in the World Cup fever today. So, Qatar 2022. Seriously, I mean, this World Cup has been so surprising with everything relating to the organizing and everything, the teams and all that. For me and for my country just being booted out, seriously, these people, they didn't even need to be there. Because how? How can you just go and, how can you just go there and just do your own thing and just mess up the whole place? Seriously, Delali, our team here, you let us get to the other teams and then we'll get back to them, because it was one of the, let me say, the most poorest, let me say, World Cup performance, like for the whole team that I've ever seen. So I think this World Cup has been very, very shocker, because you could see like the other teams who are so not, let me say, who don't have like the name like in the football world. Like, you'll be astonished. It's like different, like the Asians, Japan and
yeah.
Korea. Seriously, for me watching their matches, I'm very, very shocked. I'm like, wait, how did these people learn football? Even with USA, seriously, when did they learn to play soccer, as they called it, like it's football? When did they? Cause me, I'm seriously blown away. What do you have? For me, you just continue.
Well, yes, this particular World Cup has been filled with a lot of surprises. You know, going into the World Cup, we all know, you know, the news that was out there. We all had the reports, what people were saying. As a matter of fact, it almost looked as if people, especially the big media, the Western media, they wanted the tournament to flop. They wanted to be a flop. They wanted the things to happen. So we would say, well, we told you so. But then God being so good, this has been from reports and from
one
people
of the
who have, you know, attended other World Cups. From people are saying this is probably like one of the best so far. And you know, of course, the Qataris, I think that they have done a great job. You look at the stadiums, the stadiums they built, you look at the organizing, you could see that these people were very intentional about what they were doing. They really wanted it, they got it, so they put in so much, you know, into it, and it is really like it has turned out very good, very positively. And you know, big ups to them. And you know, you were talking about the Asians and how they have really performed in this tournament.
They have really, really performed.
That's the thing with most of these Asian countries. China, South Korea,
Japan.
These people, and even Qatar. These people are very deliberate. They are, you know,
even Saudi Arabia, just look at this.
Saudi Arabia, you see the thing, when these people set their minds something, when they decide they want to do something, they put in their all. They are intentional and deliberate about these things. So for them, it's about results, and whatever they have to do to get these results, they do it. They don't care even if it takes a long time for them to see the benefits or for them to see results. What matters to them is doing it and doing the right way, and it has shown up. See, years back, these people knew nothing about football.
Oh yeah,
these people, and you know, we didn't see China in this World Cup, but then they have a plan in place. You know, they have a plan in place, and they are executing it perfectly. It's I won't be shocked if If the next World Cup or the World Cup after that, the next one, you see China doing so well. Because these people, they put in so much. They put in the effort. You know, they try to, you know, to do everything to perfection. And, you know, listen, if you, that's what, you know, we want to say, if you put your mind to something, if you really want something and you put your mind to it, nothing can stop you. That's what that's shown. For me, yo, I have nothing short of admiration and admiration for these people. Listen, I wish we could do the same. It's very unfortunate that for a country such as ours, over the years, we don't really believe it.
We can't, because our team is full of, let me say, corruption and all that. So let's just go to the group stages. For me, when it started the work, I wasn't so much into it. But after watching the first match, Qatar versus Ecuador, I was like, okay, let me see. Because this is the first time the host nation has been, let me say, beaten. Like, has lost its first game. So I was like, really? Then this World Cup will be full of surprises. Then you go to the other games, then you could see Iran scoring, this country, what's the name? Scoring, like, from other countries. Then you could see it was very, very, let me say, you could really, really predict. You could feel like you are predicting who will win. Who, like, win out of the group stage in the first leg, but suddenly you come back and you be like, nah, no, this team will rather win. So it's for me, I was even shocked with the Japan and Germany match. I was like, what? I was like, really?
I think what this World Cup has shown is that now you can't really pinpoint one nation or a particular or one country and say this country is a football nation. You know, in the past, before everyone knew, everyone has known that Germany is a football nation. Argentina, you know, these great countries who have, you know, produced a lot of players and who have produced results in this tournament. But now you look at the likes of Japan and the Saudi Arabias, you know, and the South Koreans, and then you realize that, you know what, almost every country is trying to build, their football. They're trying to, you know, make something good out of whatever they have. You get it, and that's what I'm saying. It goes back to what I was saying about our country. It looks as if everyone is trying to progress, whilst we, on the other hand, everything we have done so far and points to retrogression. We and the funny thing is, we are not even stagnant. Because if you were stagnant, it would have been better.
Yeah.
But you are progressing, you are falling backwards. You get it. And then you see all these countries who could not, you know, who could never have even compared themselves to us, doing so well and doing better than us. Then you realize that, yo, listen, we have a long way to go. However, it's also not up to the game. Like, it's a plus for the game. Because everyone who loves football now knows that no one has a monopoly over the game.
Yeah.
You know, for going into a tournament, you can point to about 4 or 5 countries you know would do well. Now, you dare not try it, because you would end up either, you know, embarrassing yourself. Because countries we talk have gone further. Countries we talk probably have gone further, and even to the finals, some are out. You know, going into the tournament, people thought Germany, Belgium, people thought they were the favorites. But look at them, they are
even
all out.
Even Spain.
These countries were kicked out in the group stages.
Even some for me today, I was even shocked Spain left the group. Competition. Because for me, I thought Morocco would lose.
Yes, everyone. Everyone did.
Seriously, for me today at the workplace, a lot of people were like, why am I not happy? And I'm like, it's not like I'm not happy. I'm happy. But now, because Morocco have won, the Arab people think it's their victory. They don't bring Africa into the picture. Because for the North African countries, for them, they feel they are not African. Seriously, let's be the truth.
Yes.
For them,
yes.
They feel they are not African. For Egypt, Libya, they will say, okay, they are a part of the Arab world. Morocco, Tunisia, they will say they are kind of part of Europe, French, Spain. So for them, you can't really win. So for me, the mixed signals was when people, it was very happy for people. Africa finally has won. Let me say, Africa has gone now 14 to been able to go to the quarterfinals, plus Morocco being 4. But later, when I checked Twitter, I was like, okay, so people also share my opinion. Because for me, it didn't really, really ache me. Like, okay, I should be happy about it. Because one, these people don't see themselves as African. But for me, being a Black African, I'm very, very happy for them. Yes, I'm very, very happy for them because they've been able to join the Black African national team who've been able to qualify to the quarterfinal. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, I think it's an open secret. It's an open secret. Almost everyone know the Moroccans. They see themselves more as Europeans, as to Africans. You look at where they are located. You know, Morocco and Spain are very close. The only thing that separates them is the Mediterranean Sea. So they are really close to Europe, and that's how come these people, identify themselves more as Europeans, as to Africans. And listen, I don't blame them. I really don't blame them. If you look at how we think. As people, as a continent, especially the East Africans and then the East and West and some parts of South Africa, South Africa and Southern Africa, you realize that you can't really blame them. That's why when you look at development-wise, these people are far ahead of us because they kind of think outside the box. They don't want to think as Africans. You get it? And listen. It even goes further in the kind of leaders they elect. You get it? Their leaders are people who have the people at heart. So they put in place policies and measures that will benefit the citizens. And not they themselves. You get it? And then you look at us and you realize that you can't really blame them. But then I would wish that these people would identify themselves as African. The African,
but they won't identify themselves as African. They won't, because seriously, do you know that Spain has 2 cities bordering Morocco?
Morocco.
And one thing you should know is that formerly they were out of the African Union. They didn't want to be part, but out of something they suddenly wanted to be part, and I think for some time they wanted to be part of even ECOWAS. Then kind of this Nigerian people were like, no, they won't agree to it. So for me, they're mixed signals for me, because I saw on Twitter someone was writing, look how dumb Africans are, tweeting, celebrating about it. But the country who made it to the quarterfinals this evening doesn't even regard him like itself as African. So for me, when I saw it, I was like, okay, someone also is expressing my view. So for me, I think for them, now this celebration, I don't know if it's for the Arabs or it's for the Africans. I think the Arabs are more like happy celebrating about it.
Yes. Because, of course, Morocco is an Islamic country, so it also plays into their benefits. So that's it. Well, moving forward, I think what we have to do is for us not to find ourselves in such a situation anymore when our people, I mean, people who identify themselves as real Africans, when they go, they shouldn't go and mess up.
They shouldn't mess up. Because seriously, how can Senegal, your group was the most easiest group to qualify. Still, I still even can't understand why they even left.
They did. You know, they qualified. And then they were kicked out by England. And the manner in which they lost was a bit disturbing because we all thought, come on, Champions for Africa, we were expecting a little bit more from them, but then quite unfortunate. They disappointed almost.
They really disappointed people.
They kind of lacked some leadership. They kind of lack some leadership, and I don't really blame them. If you're a country or if you're a team, and then you have one of your deadliest players.
Why? Because of Sadio Mane.
And missing.
Please.
You are being totally honest.
Even if the person we is all not in, you should be able to play. You should be able to play. For seriously, if you just take the Brazilian team, for example. The Brazilian team, someone would say, is very good and all that. But you just see something. When Neymar got an injury or something, the team was in, let me say, a little bit disarray or something. But they were able to pull themselves out of the group. But with Senegal, it was very, very hard. And even with leaving the group, they had to, I think that for me, when they qualified out of the group and they were like meeting England, they lost hope. Seriously, they lost hope.
Yeah.
So it was just like coming back to come and play and just maybe returning back to Senegal, West Africa. And you could see from today's match with the Moroccans, these people, I think they just went in just to play. And surprisingly, the Spaniard coach made, I think their last training, the coach made them to practice on penalties 1,000 times. And I was like, seriously, with all the penalties you people like practice and trade, this is what you played. So for me, I was like, okay, then this World Cup is like, it's totally potential. Because for me, like this, if you had to ask me who will win this World Cup, I don't know.
That's very true. But then I think that there is, if you have been able to watch most of the games, you would know that, you would have by now noticed that one particular, one country stands out. They have been really exceptional.
Right.
From their play, France, they have been exceptional. every aspect of the team is working. From defense to midfield to the attacking. Is working. At the moment they are the deadly, and I foresee them going to the finals. I foresee them going to the finals. And then when I was coming, when I was in the car, I was watching them the Portugal game, and they without Ronaldo look more organized.
Yeah.
They look more nice. So listen, I think we've seen some surprises, but then I look forward to actually seeing more. I think we will see more surprises before the tournament ends.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. Also, I think we should give credit to the Moroccan coach and goalkeeper. I think he did really well. The Spaniards penalty was bad, not because the he played well. I think the keeper also did really well, reading them and then, you know, catching their directions. I think we should give him some credits. He did really well.
So, back to our home. The Black Stars. For me, I think I was one of those people who didn't have zero, let me say, hope in this team. Because from the release of the players, the 21 something squad, the World Cup, I was like, these people, let's see. But when they played their friendly against Switzerland, and I don't know where the hope came from, I was like, oh, these people are back again. Then our first match, we played Portugal, and I don't know, it was okay, but that Ronaldo penalty, for me, it's not a penalty, and I'm so, let me say, grateful the referee actually apologized, because for me, I think that penalty is the bot penalty. I think the Arab, those people, they paid money to them. The referee just to make sure Ronaldo gets like his fifth goal or something. Galali, please, this one, you don't need like any, let me say, private detective or investigator to investigate this. We know, because first game, they wanted him to like maybe get it okay. For his fifth, consecutive years, he's been able to score in every World Cup. Please, we know. Even with that, let's go. Then to our next game, we played South Korea. And even Uruguay and Portugal drawed. We played South Korea. For me, that's the match that, seriously, you could see from my workplace, everyone was so into it. We were like, nah. Even for the last 10 minutes, seriously, I was able to calculate my Excel revenue analysis, everything I was able to do it, but still the 10 minutes was not over. I was pretty shocked. Seriously. And for our last match, and Uruguay, and you see, South Korea drawed with Uruguay, and we made Uruguay's forwards 2-0. That, for me, I don't understand. And for that penalty, they dare you, please. If you are not cool with playing penalties, don't play it. Because this one, it's what, like eating, it's like setting up lunch and just sliding across the table just to get a bit of it and just stand up. Seriously, for me, I was so pissed. And for me, on that Friday, I didn't really get all my hopes in it, because I knew we were out.
So, you know, a day before we played, I think, so when we played on Friday, right? Yes, so we played on Friday. On Thursday, I was from somewhere, so in the throttle, I was, you know, when we're about to play, you know, and people were talking, some were saying we're not going to win. And then I told someone that I watched two games. And the one we played against Portugal, and then the one we played the South Korean game. And in both games, I did not see exactly what you did. I didn't see his use. I felt he was holding the team back.
So he should be benched.
In my opinion, that's what I said. In my opinion, I think he should be benched. I don't want to see him starting the game. Then the lineup kick comes and then he's in the squad. I'm like, listen, this guy has not played anything. He has been terrible all tournament. He has been terrible. I don't know. I understand he's a captain, but then if we really want to indulge, then we would bench him. So we, you know, he starts and then we start playing. You know, in the first 10, 20 minutes, we go, okay, God being so good, we get a penalty. And then we expect, because, you know, listen, before, after the World Cup, he has been playing our penalties and he has been good. you know, if you have been totally honest, he has been good. So you would expect that, you know, he'll just put this away and then we'll be one zero up.
He can't put it away, he can't put it away.
Listen, if we have to defend throughout the game, at least we have one goal. Because all we needed was a draw. We didn't necessarily even need a win. All we needed was a draw. And that's it. And then, at least we don't miss so much. Not at all. Going into the tournament, we had a problem. And the problem was a managerial problem. We didn't really have a good coach. We didn't have a good manager. You get it. So it was expected. If you're going into a tournament such as a World Cup and you don't really have an experienced coach who really knows, you know, who really knows his onions, who really knows his job, then it's expected of you to not do so well. And it showed. It showed in the lack of in-game analysis, you know, reading your opponents and then tweaking your tactics here and there, you know, to seal the situation so you would, you know, do, you know, so things would work out for you. You realize that when in all the three games we played, when things were not going so well, we could not do anything. The coach could not do anything. And that's the thing, you know, that's why I like what Songo, Councilman Songo has been saying. If you have an administration that is hell bent on, you know, on running the defense, this is what is expected. You know, they put people in place, people they know they can manipulate and control, you know. Let's see. This team has really stressed.
It's so disheartening. Seriously.
It is so disheartening. You know, it's like we know what they can do. You get it? We know they are not people we can, you know, trust. We know they are not people we can put our hearts, you know, they are not people we are supposed to, you know, give our all to. But then for some reason, you know, sometimes for the love of the game, you try to be a little bit optimistic. You try to, be a little bit positive. But then, you give them your heart and it's positive, and they destroy you.
How can you let that do the match? And then my Nigerian friends will just be trolling me on WhatsApp because we scored them and we were just boasting we are coming to like carry Africa on our head, and now we just came and even we were the last. Hey,
we were the last. Can you imagine?
How can you go into a World Cup? You were the lowest ranked team. You were like everything about you was negative. Then you leave the World Cup too. Everything about you is negative. Why? Couldn't we have gotten some positives out of it? Oh.
And then also, listen. Before you know, even the AFCON, that's the same situation we faced in AFCON. In the AFCON, we were last. You get it? We were last, which means that after the AFCON, they didn't really sit down to look at the problems we have and address them properly. And that's why we went back to the World Cup and then, same issues come up, poor performance, an inexperienced coach.
Talent scouter. Oh, please. Talent scouter. For me, audience, we are sorry, our listeners, but today we are having a heated show. For me, the players that, like, caused me, let me say, havoc, were the ones who were like dancing on the pitch. Thomas Partey was playing like he was on health insurance, giving a bill like he doesn't have to, like maybe he has been fined not to even kick a ball or something. And what of that Barbara man? Please, how can you bring a who has been on loan for 4 years? How? Oh, seriously.
So, for me, my issue with the issue is this. All three games, whenever Didier Ayew was substituted, we saw a different Thomas Partey. All three games. It goes back to telling you that the selection was poor. Because, you know, as a number 10, you would expect that one of the major jobs, work of the number 10 is to carry the ball forward, and also to carry the ball forward, drive the ball forward, and also keep passes that would lead to goals, or that can lead to goals. But in this case, I was not seeing the importance of Didier Ayew in the squad in the first place, because all the passes he was making were back passes. Even if Partey gives him the pass, he brings it back. He gets it. Therefore, as a player, there's nothing he can really do. And that's why in all games, when he was substituted, Partey started like really playing. He gets it. So, yeah, yes, I have seen people call out his name saying he didn't boss the midfield and whatnot. And I'm like, yo, listen, if you like, go and watch the game again. If you watch the game properly, you realize that whenever the day is substituted, A different player.
Came in. Lally, even if the day is substituted or not, seriously, you have to give me all your effort. So you have to give in all your effort. Because it's taxpayers' money. I can't go and work 6 to 5. Oh, let me say 7 to 5. Then I'll be deducted whatever, NIT, social security, whatever, tier one, they will deduct this, that. Please, and for that money to be given to you, oh, and even for me, one of the shocking things was that our winning bonus was the most, let me say, was the highest above everyone else. How?
In the tournament.
In the tournament. Seriously, for me, from time I always say the players are wicked. They are wicked in the sense that, seriously, you come to play the national so that you get like maybe the exposure and everything. Maybe you want to change your club or something. Don't charge us like how you are charging playing for your club. Because seriously, for me, I never knew Mbappe was not even collecting money from his national team. I didn't know until I read in the papers or something. And I'm like, why? And he's like, oh, because the country has been able to, let me say, take care of him and all that, so he's just playing it for free. And even, okay, let me say, someone would say with the Europeans, but even with our own African people, please, how can you collect winning bonus? They're supposed to issue 15,000. The GFA says 30,000. How? What the crap?
So you know the problem with that is one. I don't really blame them too much. Most
Why?
Of these people. So okay, so most of these players are players who have been brought up outside. Some have been, you know, somewhere.
For that argument, Delali, I don't buy it. That argument, I don't buy it. Because even if you've been brought outside and you've been given a chance to even come and play for the Black Stars and everything, it's your pride. Seriously, we could have gotten these local players to even play for us. But because the FA is so, let me say, stringent on bringing in foreign players, you see, Delali, let's say the truth. If we have got local players,
just need to
give them $5,000. Oh, please, they'll perform magic.
See, even the local players we have, they are not being developed by the government or the FA. These people are being developed by individuals. Some of which are foreigners. You get it? The FA and the government does absolutely nothing in player development. You get it? So some of these players, they are where they are out of certain people's sacrifice, individuals who have invested into them. So you don't expect them to be patriotic to you because you have done absolutely nothing for them. You get it? So that's the issue. Are you saying that
all the team who came, all of them have been, all of them, their country, their home country has been, let me say,
yes.
Atlantic. Oh, please.
Listen, if not all the teams, most of the teams, and that's why a player like Mbappe can forgo, can say, listen, because of what you've done for me, I won't take bonuses or whatever. Because he knows what the country and then the FA has done for him. You get it? But in our case, these people just were developed by, they either developed themselves and out of, the grace of God or someone discovering them, are playing the outside. So if you, the FA, you don't really these people, you don't try to develop them. And that's why we are always looking for players. You get it? Because the nation, you don't even have a plan. We don't have a plan moving forward. We don't develop, listen. When it comes to player development, we don't do anything. We do absolutely nothing. Nothing. Listen, apparently, out of the 26 players we took to the World Cup, I think 6 or 7 of them were from Right to Dream. And Right to Dream belongs to a private individual. And he's not even a Ghanaian. Apparently, he's a German.
Yeah.
Kudus, Kamal Dean, they were all from Kamal and Right to Dream. You get it? And the funny thing is, apparently, before even these players came to play for us, the government had to go and beg the founder of Right to Dream to speak to these players.
Oh, yes. They have to beg because Delali, we've been going for a while. Even if for me, one thing I always see is that the government always have, let me say, budgeted allocation. Do you know that for me last time, I never knew after I read like the budget allocation or whatever. Do you know that sometimes the ministry even forgo some things and even use the other lesser teams, their budgeted money for the national team?
For the national teams. Yes.
So and for me, like for this World Cup like this that we've gone, when the money comes, who do you think the money FIFA will give it is going to? It's not going to the government, it's going to the FA.
Listen, the money they probably spent it. Apparently it's going out to of the apparently the out of 8 point something million dollars, it's left to just $200,000.
It will be left with it. Because you know why? Because the thing is that even if you had to check the budgeted revenue, if we had gone to the finals, it would have accrued to $32 million. And that is what the government of Ghana is funding. So for me, if you're a player and you tell me that, because the government has not done it, seriously, even with the money and everything, the government is still doing a lot for you. So you just can't come and say, like this.
If I'm a private entity, I'm a private entity, I own a company, and if you, the government, you do nothing for me, absolutely nothing, and then you come to me asking for my services,
do you expect me to do it for free? It's for the government. It's for the people, though. It's for the people.
Whatever I do for the government, I'm doing it for the people of Ghana. I'm a Ghanaian, so I'm going to benefit from it. However, I'm going to use my resources. And these players, listen, if something happens to them, that's one thing if something happens to them, the government will do something for them. No,
they will.
They'll go straight to their class. Listen, even their class won't even allow it. Because the club wouldn't allow it.
The club wouldn't allow it. So that's why you see, there are people having perceptions that's why they are not making Thomas Partey to play, because they are just telling him, hey, please.
Listen. I'm an Arsenal fan, and let me tell you, if I'm being totally honest, before God in mind, in my heart, I'm happy they are out of the competition. They should go and rest. Cause listen, you know what they say: heaven help those who help themselves. I feel we as Ghanaians. Cause listen, we've really done well. So you know, supporting the team with all our heart and our might. But then the SA themselves have not done enough. You get it? You know, you don't just do things anyhow. You don't do anything haphazardly, and then out of the blue you expect a miracle. That's not how it works. The countries that are performing and doing so well, they are doing it because over the years they've had a plan. They have a blueprint, and they're working based on that. It's not a few code. They didn't just get up and start doing so well. They had a plan, and they've been working towards it.
They had a plan. They've been working towards it. We hope our country, we also have a plan and works for us. For me, I think
we don't. At the moment, there
we don't. So let me say.
At the moment, we don't.
So let's just end it. For this one, I think this is the most heated. So between France, Brazil, and Argentina, and let me say Portugal. Let me just remove Portugal out, cause. For them, they are not a team. Because if let me say, South Korea was able to draw with you, and Uruguay was able to draw with you, then let me say, Fala.
No, they scored Uruguay.
Yeah. They scored Uruguay. And Ghana was able to, let me say, be like the game was so intense and. And for that World Cup, for that penalty, that was ridiculously awarded to Ronaldo. Their first two matches would have been draw. So between the three, who do you say will win the World Cup?
I think France stand a chance. I foresee them winning. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
I don't foresee them winning because I want Messi. Messi, should just win.
Netherlands will score Argentina. I'm serious.
England will never score Argentina. Cause
Netherlands.
Please, Netherlands will not score Argentina. Please.
I've watched their games.
They are good. They are good. But you see, for me, I think...
No, so it's not a matter of they being good. It's not a matter of they being good. It's a matter of they having the right manager who has a system. So, when I look at their style of play and how they have played in the last games, I think it will be difficult. I think it's very difficult for Argentina, because you know they play low blocks, and when you look at Argentina and how they play, it's very difficult for them to go past teams who play low blocks. Because what happens is, you know, with Argentina, what happens is if you are neutralize Messi. It affects the entire team because they try based on Messi's excellence. You get it.
Yeah.
So whenever Messi is having a bad game, it affects the entire team. You get it.
Then let's hope. But for me, I have my best in Argentina, either France or Argentina. For England, maybe. Sorry. Let me say sorry, oh, mate.
England,
football is not coming home.
It's never going home.
Maybe football will be home again when maybe let me say Ghana has won the World Cup, then maybe it will be home. Because we too, because other part we need the work, we need the football to come home to. So I think today's episode has been very, very interesting. Oh, serious. Because with football, I think with football, we get to express a lot. It's very nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of World Cup fever and all that. So, to our audience and our listeners, we thank you for also listening to our bantering and all that. And you can also have the conversation with us on our social media handles, Melon Sugar Podcast, on Facebook, Twitter. And yeah, you can also check out the website everywhere. I'm even tired of even talking. So, with much ado, like Sarah, thank you. And please, please, please donate to our podcast, donate. Because we are just, because for me, the 2022 Spotify Wrap, I was very, very shocked. I thought the most popular episode for me was Pinkman. That was about the breast cancer. But surprisingly, I think it was popular on Apple Podcasts. But on Spotify, it was the Global Citizen thing that was very, very popular on our podcast. Okay. And like that, very thank you to you guys. Yeah. And as Spotify would say, our listeners are adventurous. So like to thank you for just staying with us throughout, let me say, the year and everything. Thank you guys so much. Really, really do appreciate it. So just hit the like button everywhere. Then just